Hello and welcome to another podcast on manxradio.com with me, Mark Tiley. A little something from our morning show, from the My Tune series. And recently, our guest was Manx bard Zoe Cannell.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
My Tunes on Manx Radio, a new week. And a new guest. And how spooky is it that last week's guest, John Dog Collister, was a previous Manx bard. And this week's guest is the current Manx bard, Zoe Cannell. Welcome to My Tunes.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Mark. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have you with us. How did you become the Manx bard? What was it that people picked up on?
Well, it's a process where you actually apply. Many people think that you're sort of appointed without application, but there's written application plus an interview, so you have to go through that. It's open to everybody, so it's anyone can apply over the age of 18. And I had aspirations of becoming one of the Manx bards because I've been to every single one of the ceremonies, from the posthumous award to T. Brown to the first five, and then, you know, myself. So it was something that I looked at, and I really felt it was something that I'd like to achieve within my lifestyle, my lifetime.
We talked a lot with John Dog last week about Manx culture and Manx traditions. And I think this particular Manx bard thing is a very, very special thing to have.
It's been absolutely wonderful. And normally the term of appointment is 1 year. Due to the coronavirus, I've missed out on quite a number of my events and engagements that I was expecting to do between March and the summer. So in April, a decision was taken to allow me to have a further year. So I am the first person to have it for longer than 1 year. And I will have it now for two until August 2021, which is great because it gives me an opportunity not only to do the things that I missed, but also I somehow feel that it takes a little while to get into the rhythm and collate your ideas. So it'll give me more of an opportunity to do a lot more.
I'm really glad that extension came along, because when I looked at your sort of CV and I saw, oh gosh, you'd missed out on so much. So many things just couldn't happen.
Well, one of the things I missed was the Tymwald banquet. I missed the V-Day celebrations. And also we were with John Bethel at the Air and Arts Centre bringing over the poet laureate, Simon Armitage. And that was one of the projects that I was involved in. And, of course, he's not been able to come over. And the hope and expectation is that he'll be able to come in June next year. So it's still within my tenure. So they were three very big things that I missed out on, and I'm hoping that I can, you know, still be able to do those next year.
Well, here we are in Manx Radio Towers, high on Douglas Head, and I guess you're no stranger to this place, because your dear late father, Jeff, was a mainstay. Did you used to come in and watch your dad work?
Yes, this place is very familiar to me. And when I come in now, they've made a lot of renovations and changes. But one thing is, it still smells exactly the same.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing, definitely. It's a wonderful familiarity. And I spent many happy hours here with my father, particularly as one of his roles was the sports editor. So some of it was sort of anti-social times that he'd be working. So often we'd be out as a family and he'd be covering something, and we'd come in here on the way home. And on Saturday afternoon, when he did his main sports programme in the early 1990s, I would be here helping quite often, answering the phones and running round with messages. So it's got a really special place in my heart. There's no doubt about that.
I'm glad to have you back in the building and get you back on the radio. Now then, let's have our first piece of music start the week off for us. What's it going to be?
Well, the first piece that I've chosen is one from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And in 1989, I was absolutely honoured to be a part of this show at the Gaiety Theatre. And I can still remember the excitement. I was in the Balcomine School Choir the first night the curtain lifted, and we were part of the choir, and it was such an exciting and memorable experience. And recently I had the wonderful opportunity to do a poem to celebrate the 120th anniversary of the Gaiety Theatre. and had in my mind all the excitement and those happy times spent with quite a few shows that I've been in there. But this one has got a particularly fond recollection for me.
So I think it's only fair that we play the opening sequence as the curtain rises, all those memories flooding back. Jacob and Sons.
Many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began, Jacob lived in the land of Canaan, a fine example of a family man. Jacob, Jacob and sons, depended on farming to earn their keep. Jacob, Jacob and sons, spend all of the days in the fields with sheep. Jacob was the founder of a whole new nation, thanks to the number of children he'd had. He was also known as Israel, but most of the time, his sons and his wives used to call him Dad. Jacob, Jacob and sons, men of the soil, of the sheaf and the crook. Jacob, Jacob and sons, a remarkable family in anyone's book. Reuben was the eldest of the children of Israel, with Simeon and Levi the next in line. Naphtali and Issachar with Asher and Dan. Zebulun and Gad took the total to nine. Jacob, Jacob and sons, Benjamin and Judah, which leaves only one. Jacob, Jacob and sons, Joseph, Jacob's favorite son. Jacob, Jacob and sons. Jacob, Jacob and sons. Jacob, Jacob and sons. Jacob and sons.
My Tunes on Manx Radio, and my guest all this week is Manx bard Zoe Cannell. Zoe, we talked about Balakameen, the curtain going up on Joseph yesterday. So you went through school and then you headed across the ocean.
Yes, so the way I've chosen my tunes for you, Mark, is by splitting my life into what I see as the four main areas, which was my school days, my university days, and I'll come on to the rest as the week goes
okay.
on. So Wonderwall is really the university days. And it was released by Oasis in 1995, which is the same year that I headed off to the University of Derby. And boy, when you're a Manx person going to university, I think you feel it more than if you're from the UK already. You know, I was only, my birthday's August, I was only young. And, my idea of a sort of Saturday night was hanging around the house with a group of friends listening to cassettes. And all of a sudden I was thrown into the big, bad England, and it was an exciting experience. And, I learned a lot and made a great many friends.
Did you get homesick?
You're asking me to go back now.
I've talked to a lot of Manx people who've gone away, and sometimes no trouble at all. Other people really miss the island.
I think that you think that when you're, at university or having any sort of working away or gap year, that they're your best years. You feel that you almost have to have this wonderful experience off island and make it your best years. But when you return after any period away, you realise you can be as happy and contented here on the Isle of Man as anywhere.
Beautiful. What were you studying there?
I just did a combined honours degree. It would be reasonable to say that had I had my life again, I probably wouldn't go. I think that especially these days, there is a very good opportunity here on the island to study. And I don't particularly feel that the degree I did helped me. I feel in many ways that it was a very enjoyable experience. But anything that I learned could have possibly have been done here or through other vocational training. So whilst I enjoyed it, I think anyone going to university, I always say think very carefully about your course. Think very carefully about the job that you might get afterwards. And also a big consideration is the financial side of things. You know, unless you've got a good support network, you have to really think that you don't about being in debt for a great many, many years.
Yeah, it's a big change from I'm so much older than you. When I did my training, I trained as a teacher and did my final year at university to teach training college for three. It wasn't that common, and then so many more people now are going through university and coming out and not necessarily finding the jobs that they'd hoped.
Yeah, I think if I had my life again, I'd be more likely to go to the Isle of Man College and train there. I think the facilities we have here are equally good.
Now, going back to it was Derby University.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Did you have some good bands coming through the doors of the student union there?
Yes, I love talking about this subject. My first ever gig was when I was at the University of Derby, and it was the Human League.
Oh, wonderful.
And I've subsequently seen them at the Villa.
Yeah.
And my friend and I got tickets and we were so excited. It was at the Derby Assembly Rooms. And throughout that time, there were the typical 90s indie bands such as Cast, Sleeper, Lightning Seeds was another one that I saw. They were some of the classics.
Now, that is a heck of a time to be at university with that music going on. So, but we are going to turn our attention right now to Oasis. Did you ever see them live?
No, I had tickets. It was when Liam Gallagher and Noel, they got into a fight and they had to cancel the concert. I think both of them ended up in hospital, which is possibly par for the course with them. But yes, we didn't. I didn't ever get to see them. Perhaps if they were to reform, which looks maybe unlikely, that would be something that I would definitely like to do in the future.
Well, I never got to see them either. And I don't think they're going to get back together anytime
soon. I don't either. It was a very big missed opportunity.
Yeah. Chosen track for today, Oasis, Wonderwall.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights that lead us there are blinding. I said maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me. And after all, you're my wonderwall. I said maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me. You're gonna be the one that saves me. You're gonna be the one that saves me.
The classic Wonderwall from Oasis. Second choice of my guest, Zoe Cannell, Manx Bard, on this week's My Tunes. It wouldn't be right not to have a poem from the Manx Bard. So here she is with something she wrote about waiting for the big song to come from your favourite band. Are they going to play it? Will they? Won't they? Here she is.
A well-known band's coming. You're already humming. You've always dreamt of watching them live. Wear tight T-shirts so that you'll appear trendy and cool. You'll be leaving work bang on 5:30. Quite giddy you feel as you bolt down your meal. Soon be rocking down in the mosh pit. The whole gig will be great, but you truly can't wait for them to blast out their catchiest hit. Warm-up acts boost the crowd, however slightly too loud, so you sneak off to grab a quick drink. The auditorium goes black, rumbles sensed from the back. They'll be here any moment, you think. Onto the stage bound the group to a roar and a whoop with an energy magic and fresh. Striking powerful chords from guitars and keyboards. It's so good seeing them in the flesh. They continue to play as the audience sway to a tune you at once recognise. Though a few you've not heard, others join in every word, introducing midway the band guys. And deep down you'll find, at the back of your mind, as you holler and boogie along, that what matters to you is the moment they'll do their ultimate much-cherished song. Of course, without fail, they've an album on sale, so they'll throw in a few of those tracks. The atmosphere drops. Will these new ones be flops? Are they building up to the climax? And they croon a folk piece they're about to release. And it's smooth, sadly doesn't enthrall. Now you're secretly vexed, hope the biggie is next. Is it really on the set list at all? If you pop to the toilet, you could miss it or spoil it, though by now you're in need of a break. And there's always one ballad that's boring and pallid, and your feet are beginning to ache. Fab! This one I know! Nightclubs from years ago! You feel instant revitalisation. The mood that had dwindled has swiftly rekindled, but still underlying frustration. The piece we adore and the one we came for, will they bother to sing it tonight? Getting flustered and stunned, you'll demand a refund. Yet, overall, it's been such a delight. What? It's diminishing. Surely not finishing. Phew! They'll perform just one more. Yes, 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 this is it. It's their most famous hit. Save the best until last, the encore.
Great poem, Frustration, from the Manx Bard, Zoe Cannell.
Mark Tiley, the nation station, Manx Radio.
midweek on MyTunes on Manx Radio with my guest all this week, Manx bard Zoe Cannell. Zoe, let's go back to being the bard and your writing, because obviously you write a lot. Are you still as prolific as you were before you got the job?
More so.
Ooh.
Yes. In the year so far, it's just my year anniversary just passed, I wrote 48 major poems, long poems, and that in 1 year was quite an achievement. I think the biggest, not shock, pleasant surprise was that when you're appointed as the Manx Bard, you realise that you have to do a lot of writing and you get asked by a lot of people to attend events, and you don't like to just keep recycling material. You always like to be producing new and topical work. So it really involved me having quite a lot of self-discipline, and it has definitely got easier. When I first sat down, when I was first appointed, you know, in the role, I had to really spend a lot of time and concentrate and work out. But the more time has gone on, the more the ideas flow and the rhymes come to me. And I found the process, you know, has been bedding in quite nicely. And I have really enjoyed it, actually. Wonderful time in my life and true honour, and probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. As well as the writing, there's the performance side. You get asked to come along to celebrations and anniversaries and christenings and just concerts and group gatherings around the island. I don't think there's very much that I've had to turn down as far as I'm able. I do work full time, but as far as I'm able, I do try to attend and go to every single thing that I've been asked to do, and enjoyed everything, given as much as I can to it, and meeting people and embracing the experience of Manx Bard, over the last year, and I hope that that's going to continue.
And great that you got this extension that we mentioned at the beginning of the week. Let's go to Germany. Well, you did precisely that. What took you to Germany?
I was working for Dürle, which is just down the road from where we sit here now at the Fort Anne. And there was an opportunity to go to Hamburg for a short secondment period. And I took that opportunity, and I actually stayed there for 3 years in total. Unexpectedly, really. It wasn't part of any life plan. But I have to say that it made me the person that I am today. I arrived in Hamburg, I didn't know anybody at all, and by the time I left, I had a wide circle of friends and I had a bunch of very exciting memories.
And how's your German language?
Now, well, I actually came back in 2004, so unless you're going to speak it, you know, you really have to keep up a language once you've learned it. But, you know, it was when I was there, I was fluent, I'd say, but of course times elapsed. I can still, what they'd say, get by.
Yeah.
Yes, with basic. I know still know a lot of vocabulary, and I could certainly manage to sort of piece a basic conversation together.
So next motor racing, whenever that might happen, you can help the German tourists out.
Well, it has actually happened.
Yeah.
Yes, I was in sandwich shops and souvenirs. You know, I have actually been able to assist a little bit.
Good on you. Third choice of music, Zoe, what are we going to have?
My third choice is Hello Goodbye by the Beatles. And the reason for my choice, I've got two reasons for this. The first one is because of my late father, Jeff, and he was a huge Paul McCartney and Beatles fan. And, you know, that was something that I listened to as a child. But the other reason is that I went to see Paul McCartney when I was in Hamburg at the football stadium, and his opening track was Hello Goodbye of that particular tour. And when I saw him come onto the stage and perform a Beatles classic, and he was a Beatle, and that was possibly and arguably the greatest band ever.
Yep.
I really did feel that was a worthwhile achievement, and he did 3 hours and it was phenomenal.
I say hello. Hello, hello.
Final My Tunes of the Week. Once again, time has flown. My guest all this week, Manx Bard, Zoe Cannell. And Zoe, we haven't yet, but we're going to, talked about the Guild, because it is a huge part of your life. You're on the executive committee, press and PR, big thing for you. Did you perform in it as a little one?
Yes, my first entry was in 1985 with Fairfield School, and also I did a poem that year as well. And then when I was living off the island, you know, I wasn't involved. But when I returned nearly 15 years ago, I got straight back involved, and it's been a massive and happy part of my life since then. And it's led, most importantly, to me meeting some wonderful people and forming some real true friendships.
I think there are, you can almost count them, can't you, on one hand, the things that are absolutely the Isle of Man. You've got the parish walk, you've got the Guild, you've obviously got TT, there's other bits and pieces, but the Guild is just at the centre of Manx life, isn't it?
They're all events that involve thousands of people.
Yeah.
and all very worthy, you know, things for the island, but the Guild is my particular passion, and you know, I really enjoy taking part. I've got my own choral speaking group that I've had for 10 years now, so that makes me very proud, and it's generally the speaking side that I enter, but I have been known to do some singing as well. But I'm just thoroughly involved, whether it's, even if it's just sitting in the cafe down at the Villa Marina, watching the world go by, having a bit of a natter, swapping the skeets, swapping all the scores in the books. To me, it was really sad when it was cancelled this year.
I was going to talk about that, the virtual Guild. I mean, we did get a virtual Guild off the ground. Well done to you and everyone concerned.
Thank you.
But I just hope it comes back normal next year.
Yes, you know, we're sort of making some contingency plans, if I'm honest, to make sure that it's not reliant on anything from off-island. The main off-island element of it is the adjudicators who fly in, and of course that's to make sure that they're neutral and they don't know people and they're able to make an adjudication, they're not teaching or whatever. But obviously that's something that we would have to look at, seeing what the situation is post-Christmas. I think that nobody would want it to be cancelled for a second year running.
It's too precious, and it involves so many people. And for like you, when you started out as a little one, that first taste of performing to you know, to your friends and to a big audience, and in somewhere as glorious as the Villa or the Gaiety or wherever you happen to be, you can't beat it.
No, absolutely not. Both the Villa Marina and the Gaiety Theatre are beautiful, stunning buildings. And to have opportunities like that to perform, yeah, I really do appreciate it. I'm sure many other people do as well.
We could talk a lot about the Guild, and I want to have a focus on somebody you've chosen. It's a Guild performance. Tell me about your choice.
Well, my choice for today is Mandy Griffin singing Send in the Clowns and accompanied by Gareth Moore, both of whom are very, very close friends of mine and have been a great support to me over the last 2.5 years when I've had a difficult time with a few things. And the Guild connection is why I have gone for this one. But I think it's also what these people mean to me. And Send in the Clowns was a very emotional piece, and it was also something that Mandy won the class with. So it's to honour my involvement in the Manx Music Festival, the Guild, and to say thank you not only to Mandy and Gareth, but to everybody who's been by my side, you know, over the last few years.
Well, Zoe, thank you for joining us this week, and good luck in your extended period as Manx Bart.
Thank you.
Rightly so, given all that's been going on. And let's catch up again soon.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Send in the clowns. Mandy Griffin, accompanied by Gareth Moore. Absolutely beautiful. My thanks to Zoe for a fabulous week on My Tunes. And do keep popping back here to manxradio.com for more of the same as we bring you the best bits, and there are some, of Mark Tiley in the morning with our friends at Shore Isle of Man.